Fleur Campbell, Senior Project Officer at the Office for Disability, is standing in today for Michael Cromie from the Office for Disability. We're going to end today's session with our usual Q&A session with the Office for Disability. And before Fleur makes herself available to take any questions from you, she just has a couple of updates to run past you. Over to you, Fleur.
Thanks, Robin, and thanks, everyone. Sorry I'm not Michael. I know he's probably much more exciting than I am, but I'll do my best. I'm here from the Office for Disability, and some of you may have also run into Miriam in the breaks from the Office for Disability. I think she chatted to some of you at lunchtime. So there's a broader audience than just the organisations that the Victorian Disability Advocacy Program funds, but hopefully I have got to say is relevant to everyone, and if not, I'll try not to be too long. I just wanted to say a quick thank you to Daru for organising today. Today's session has been so useful. I know a lot of you have probably been in sessions like I have where it's been a lot of big picture talk about the NDIS, and today was really great at bringing it back to the personal level and making it make sense for, you know, how people will experience changes to their plans and the complaints processes and what have you. I also wanted to say a massive thank you to Robin for all of the hard work that she's done in coordinating Daru over the last 3 years. We will miss her. AFDO's lucky to have her. And, you know, the Daru's in a much better position now than 3 years ago, thanks to the hard work that Robin has put into to the organisation. Yeah. So big round of applause. Okay, this is almost embarrassing. So there's been another restructure at the Department of Health and Human Services, which some of you may and may not know, and it may or may not be of interest to people. I don't think we could have a screen big enough to show you where we are in this new structure. I'll try and point it out.
Can we get a copy of that?
Yeah, of course. I'll send the link to Robin. It's available on the DHHS website if you wanted to Google organisational structure. You big nerd. So we are, hang on, I marked it on my sheet so that I can find it. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Thanks. Great.
It's hard to read.
Yeah.
We're about here.
So Anne Congleton is the Deputy Secretary of our area, which is called Community Participation, Health and Wellbeing. And the Office for Disability has now separated from Office for Disability and Office for Youth, which some of you will know. And we now sit in the Diversity Unit, which is managed by Martin Turnbull. And the unit has a focus on whole of government, whole of department policy. It also includes cultural diversity, migrant and refugee resettlement, and gender identity. So, you know, potentially some interesting crossovers for our work, but definitely a new part of the department for us. Claire Thorne, who many of you know, from her involvement, I think, 6 years ago in setting up the Office for Disability, but she's been back for the last 9 months. She'll be going on to take up other opportunities in the department. And also many of you will know that Arthur Rogers, who's kind of the grandfather of disability services at DHHS, is leaving. I think his last day is Friday. And he's going to take up a special advisor role at the Department of Premier and Cabinet in the NDIS reform area. So, thought I'd just give a really quick update as well. At least the organisations funded through the Victorian program will have recently undertaken a survey. So Minister Foley is really keen to work with us and with the sector to ensure that we have a strong advocacy sector moving towards the NDIS, and also recognising that whilst there's about 100,000 people in Victoria who will be eligible for NDIS supports, that leaves, I think, about 900,000 people who have a disability who won't be eligible for NDIS supports. So we need to make sure that advocacy is strong and that people with a disability are able to access quality advocacy support, whether they are in or out of the NDIS. The survey was one of the first kind of steps for us in identifying what are some of the key themes and areas that we need to work on improving, and what are the opportunities that the sector identifies. So we had a 100% response rate for the survey. Any of you who received emails and phone calls from me hassling you will know why. The key themes were that even though we mostly fund individual advocacy in Victoria, many organisations prioritise systemic and self-advocacy work and do that work, you know, within their funding allocation on top of all the other work that they do. That there's gaps in service delivery, especially around specific groups, including Aboriginal, LGBTI, and also in terms of some key themes like education and employment. And also that organisations vary in terms of the operational systems and processes they have in place. So there's a wide spectrum when it comes to how advocacy organisations are delivering services. I apologise for the inaccessibility of this. I thought I was being really clever creating a word cloud and then realised it wasn't very accessible. But basically we asked advocacy organisations what are the top advocacy issues for people with a disability. And there's no surprises that the top three issues were firstly housing, education and then disability services, followed by abuse and neglect, employment and access to supports. So I think most of you in the room would have been able to reel off that list without even thinking about it. In terms of strengthening advocacy, we asked for feedback to the Office for Disability about what the key issues for organisations are. No surprises, there was a lot of commentary about future uncertainty and transition to the NDIS, that there's a need for greater funding given that there's increased demand, complexity of cases, staff workloads, that kind of thing, that we need a better approach to systemic advocacy and mechanisms for sharing information, that the performance targets for the QDC and reporting is inadequate and currently doesn't give a great picture of or a very accurate picture for organisations trying to share what they do in their organisations, and that the lack of coordination between the state and Commonwealth, particularly in terms of data collection for advocacy, is problematic. So, you know, we thought that the survey results were great and really give us a strong basis for moving forward and where we need to focus our attention. The next steps for us are to enlist the support of an external facilitator who will do some work with the sector, independent of us, to do some consultations and hear your thoughts moving forward. That's it in terms of an update. Did people have questions?
Thanks. Fleur, that's great. The survey is a really great way of collecting the information from the state-funded groups, and I'm wondering if you'll be feeding it into the review that I believe is happening federally around the National Disability Advocacy Program.
Yep, that's a great question, Pauline. So Carolyn Wilkes, who is, I am not sure of her exact title, Rebecca might know, sitting at your table from... but Carolyn Wilkes looks after the National Disability Advocacy Program and the review of that program and the review of the National Disability Advocacy Framework. And so we've been talking more and more with Carolyn about opportunities for there to be, A, information sharing, but also... for us to combine our efforts when we're looking at how to strengthen advocacy, whether it's around looking at impact and outcomes and that type of thing, or recognising that because there's two programs that fund organisations in Victoria, without working together, we're only ever telling half the story for advocacy. So. Hello, question?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
As you're aware, there have been a lot of reviews and inquiries around abuse and neglect.
Yep.
And all of those inquiries have made the same recommendation around the need for more advocacy for people with disability. Is the purpose of this survey and of the minister looking at it to look at funding as law, or is it just so he looks like he's interested?
So all indications from our minister in all the places I've heard him speak about advocacy, and George, you've probably heard him speak about advocacy more than I have been that he is truly committed to strengthening the sector. What that looks like, who knows, but that there is a commitment, not just a tick-a-box exercise, to try and make improvements and make Victoria stronger in terms of rights for people with disabilities.
Has anything gone to the Economic Review Committee in terms of the budget process? So has OFD put a case to the ERC about the need for more funding for advocacy?
So I'm not sure. I'm looking at Miriam. So I guess that all departments are looking at their budget bids at the moment. So as part of a broader bid, there's things around strengthening rights for people with a disability. So, yeah.
Is that a yes or no?
It's like, I don't even know if I'm supposed to answer that question, George. Send me an email.
Okay, fine.
So no more questions? Okay.
Thanks.
Fleur, thank you so much. Fleur Campbell, Senior Project Officer, Office for Disability.